and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from Studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is C.J. Box, author of Stormwatch. C.J., welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
C.J., in Chapter 1 of Stormwatch, your new novel, we meet our hero, Joe Pickett, and you write in, I think, the third sentence of the book, you write, quote, "This is a day that would both start and end with blood in the snow," unquote. What's going on here? Why is there so much blood in the snow?
Oh, there's a lot going on in this book. The title really means something, as they all should, but there's a couple of storylines going on in this. One is that this all takes place in the midst of several great blizzards coming to the Rocky Mountains in late spring, which is when we get the worst blizzards. But he is tracking a wounded elk that has been hit by a car. He finds a strange and remote high-tech facility, small building in the middle of nowhere, and a body outside, and he begins to investigate. He finds out very quickly that the body likely belonged to a University of Wyoming professor. But as Joe starts to investigate it, forces, including the governor, tell him to stop it. Don't do it. Don't pursue this. And while at the same time, other outside forces are coming in, a secessionist group is wooing Nate Romanowski, his outlaw buddy, trying to convince him to join them, to join kind of an extremist group to help them secede from the Union.
Who is Joe Pickett, your series character? This is the 23rd book in the series, and I should just say, a reader can jump in at any point and read one of these books. You can start with Stormwatch. But who is Joe Pickett?
Joe Pickett is a Wyoming game warden, a state employee, and game wardens in Wyoming, there's only 50 of them, and their duty is to, you know, enforce game and fish regulations across the state. But also, because in very, you know, low-populated places like this, game wardens are often involved in other situations, other crimes, hostage situations, all sorts of things. So Joe Pickett, although he takes some suspension of disbelief, has been involved in all sorts of big issues over the years, and this one is certainly one of them.
He has a lot more than fish regulations in the world of Joe Pickett. How about Nate Romanowski? You mentioned him. Who is this other character in the series?
He is a falconer, an outlaw falconer with a special forces background. And over the arc of now 24 books, he's kind of turned in from a, you know, kind of almost cold-blooded killer with a code of his own to a married guy trying to start sustain a falconry business. But he hasn't gone too far from his roots, and he's kind of Joe's counterpoint and alter ego at times.
You sometimes bring politics into your books, and these are murder mysteries, they're crime novels, novels of suspense, but there's this layer of politics, partly because Joe is a government employee and the governor gets involved in some of his business from time to time. But tell us about the secession movement you mentioned. Is that a real thing in Wyoming where your books are set? Do people talk about that out there?
A little bit. And, you know, the thing, I guess the situation where it always rears its head is whenever there is an administration in Washington who starts to change all of the land, energy, timber policies. You know, Wyoming is half owned by the federal government, just as most of the western states are up to, you know, Nevada is 70% owned by the federal government, which means individual agencies run the land, run the economy in a sense. And the people in charge of those agencies are appointed, not elected. So the potential for conflict is always there. Every 4 years, a large contingent of the population wonders if they're going to have a job. So politics is very close to the surface against the federal government.
Joe Pickett is not just a character in this series of novels. It's also the name of a TV show. Tell us about Joe Pickett, the television show. Where can we watch it? What is it like? How true to the books is it?
Joe Pickett, is the first season is available on Paramount Plus, and it actually turned out to be their number three drama. It's based primarily on the first, on book one and book three. My wife and I, who are, of course, very close watchers of this thing, we think they did a great job. It sticks close to the book. So the casting is great. The themes of the books are in there. We can't wait for season two to start, which we believe will be in May. But it's done very well, and we're real proud of it.
You're listed as an executive producer of the show. Do you have an actual responsibility, or is that just because you're the author of the novels upon which the series is based?
Primarily, it's because I provide the source material and then pretty much stay out of the way. Although I have offered some notes and some suggestions, and they have had the showrunners have taken them with good cheer. But I do not want to be one of those who's on the set every day. It's the most boring thing in the world. Plus, to see how the sausage is made on that end is a lot less fun than writing it in the first place.
When you started writing these books, did you think to yourself, this would be a great TV series or a great movie?
No. When I first started writing, I was writing one book called Open Season, which I thought was a standalone and never thought of it in terms of a series. And it wasn't until the publisher accepted the book and wanted two more with Joe Pickett that I first started thinking about a series. No, I never thought there'd be a Joe Pickett number two, much less 23.
I think of these books as crime novels or mysteries or thrillers, but to what extent are they Westerns? Because they're set in Wyoming. The characters often feel like cowboys. Do you think of them as Westerns? What kind of genre do you imagine?
I guess I always think of them as contemporary Westerns. Yes. There's a few classic themes that play over and over in classic Westerns, and they usually have to do with outside forces coming into an area to either change it or take it over. And then violence ensues. And in most of the cases, in most of the books, that's kind of the basic plot is, Joe Pickett trying to do his job, stay out of trouble, and outside forces come in, and he's forced to take measures that he wouldn't normally take.
You live in Wyoming, so it makes sense that you would set stories there in Wyoming. How much of you is in this book? And what I mean by that is, have you gone elk hunting, and do your experiences as an elk hunter inform what you write in a book like Stormwatch?
Yes, I am an elk hunter. I got an elk this year, this December, mainly because my daughters are big foodies and they love to serve elk to their urban guests. So they put pressure on me. But yeah, it's kind of part of the culture here. Where I live, you often will see somebody in the post office and they'll say, "Have you got your elk yet?" So everybody does. Everybody hunts. The hunting culture, it's primarily for meat, not trophies, but it's very ingrained and something that, that exists all over the U.S., but in this part of the world in particular.
What do you know about storytelling that you didn't know, say, 20 novels ago?
I think primarily the pace and what should have happened by page 100 kind of thing. But, Elmore Leonard, whom I'm a huge fan of, wrote a list of 10 rules for writing. And the number one is leave out the parts readers skip. And it sounds kind of trite, but when you think about it, that is true. He said readers tend to look at a page and skip over huge blocks of text to the first line of dialogue and find out they haven't missed anything. So I try to move the books along and, plot them kind of intricately and in advance so that they're not confusing, and then go to work.
That's a great list, that Elmore Leonard list, and I give it to students here at Hillsdale College. One of the 10 bits of advice he has is never start with weather, he says.
Which is exactly what I did with this book.
That's my next question is, you violated an Elmore Leonard rule in Stormwatch.
Well, that's because weather is such an important part of this book is, all these things are going on, moves are being made, betrayals, plots, all within you know, this framework of these blizzards that just stop everything. And it's very, very true to life. I'm looking out my window right now as Nick's blizzard rolls in later today.
One more question, CJ. Your books, your Joe Pickett books, tend to come out in February or March of every year, and this is like our annual conversation on this podcast. Do you already know what the next book is about? Have you started it, or is that a thing that begins this summer? What is your work process like? Where are we with the next Joe Pickett novel?
I'm almost halfway through the next Joe Pickett novel. And the reason is because, you know, once you turn a novel in, then it's another 5 or 6 months of editing and prepping and preparing the marketing campaign and all that. And I go ahead and get to work on the next one. So I've got a big head start. And I'm well into the next book and really excited about it.
The author is CJ Box. The book is Stormwatch. CJ, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.